Welcome to CWH. During this Christmas season, my dad, Pastor Salem, will deliver a series of messages on why Jesus came to earth. Today's sermon, Christ Came to Reveal the Invisible God, gives us an example of how to live and walk with Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every week we're excited because we're coming to your house to have a time of worshiping together. And it's not just the two of us, but it's thousands and millions of people all over the world. And our focus is on Jesus. And we're gathering around the throne of God in heaven at Jesus' feet. And we're worshiping him. And to those who don't know Jesus, we're opening the doors for you to come. And I know there'll be multitudes that'll pray and ask Jesus into their heart in this service. I just know that. But before we do that, I want to read some of the letters. We get such nice letters. And you get a pencil and paper and have it ready, because at the end of the service, I'll give you an address, and we'd just love to have you write. And I want you to listen to this first one very carefully. It's from Sherwood, North Dakota. And they say, enclosed is a gift from Fern Nelson. She is 102 years old. 102. Just ruined my day. I'm 96. She's got me beat by 6 years. So congratulations to Fern. She lives in a nursing home. She enjoys the Christian Worship Hour. She wanted to help with your ministry. Please keep her in your prayers. And I know, Fern, I know you'll keep us in your prayers. And we'll pray all the way until we get to heaven. And then we'll just talk to the Lord personally. And won't that be something? Here's a letter from Virginia, Minnesota. Listen to this. It says, looking for a good non-pounding, shouting, no waving arms. I finally found yours. Thank you for being a plain, old-fashioned preacher who teaches us the meanings of the Bible. I can't drive anymore because of my eye disease. Would you please mail us your newsletter and Bible study lesson? And so I just want to say, first of all, when you get to be 96 years, you don't pound the pulpit, you don't wave your arms, you just thank God you can get up here and preach. And another thing I want to mention, they want the Bible study lesson, and that's the new song. Every month we put out the new song, and this month we're talking about, since it's December and Christmas, we're talking about gifts that money can't buy. And every month we'll send another Bible study. You can use it for personal reasons, or you can use it for a Sunday school. Here's Titusville, Florida. My father's gone on to be with Jesus earlier this year. I just want you to know how much your show meant to him. He was a shut-in for the last 3 years. He looked forward to your service every Sunday. And believe me, we think of these folks that are shut-ins. They get to the age where they can't get around, they can't travel. Some are on beds of sickness, some are wheelchair, some just are confined in their homes. And especially in the winter time when the wind is blowing, the snow is piling up, they can't get out. And ice scares us to death. I'm 96, I fear for ice, I don't get near it. And so we worship with them, we think about them in every service and pray for them in every service. One more I want to share, and that's Des Moines, Iowa. And this person writes and says, I can't write very good, so I just print. I just am 102 months old now. Jesus said, I go to make a place for you, then I will come and get you, and you'll be with me. So I believe he hasn't got it ready yet, so I just wait for him. I walk and talk with him every day. I thank him for our day. He told me, I am the truth, the life, and the way, and I believe this. And isn't that beautiful, just walking and talking with Jesus? Talk out loud. See, I live alone, and this man evidently does. And so you just, by yourself, just talk out loud to Jesus. And you know, if you're in the grocery store getting groceries, probably just as well to wait till you get back home. But that's nice, just to talk to him. And hear this, dear brother. He says, Jesus is the only way, and that's exactly right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then listen to what he said, John 14, verse 6. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me, through me, Jesus. I spent all my life preaching in churches, and I love the church, and it's instituted of God. The church can't save you. The Word of God, we've been preaching about the Word of God, the Lord Jesus. The way of salvation is a person. And then you accept Jesus, and then you go to church, and you help out in the church. And don't go to a church to see what you can get. Go to the church to see what you can give. Well, we hope that you'll write to us. So keep your pencil and paper, just a few minutes. It might seem like a long time, but it's not a very long time. I never preach long time. Just seems like that way. And then you can send us a letter, and we'll put you on our mailing list, and we'll send you information. But this is December, wonderful December. And when you talk about December, what do you think about? I think about Christmas. So we're going to have, there's 5 Sundays in December. And so we're going to have 5 sermons about Christmas. And they're going to be, why did Christ come to this earth? Why was he born of the Virgin Mary? And we have 5 sermons. The first one today we're going to preach about Jesus came to reveal the invisible God. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. And then the third Sunday, we're going to think about Jesus came to provide a sacrifice for sin. And then the fourth Sunday, which will be Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God. And then we'll close it out the last Sunday in December. Jesus came to provide the redeemed with a high priest. So all of these sermons were going to deal with the purpose and the objects of the incarnation. And when we talk about the incarnation, we simply mean the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself. And he came into this world and he took upon himself human flesh just like we are, except he had no sin. Everybody else has sin. Everybody in the world has sinned in one way or another. Jesus had no sin. He was in the flesh, but he was sinless. He's the only sinless person ever to walk on the face of the earth. By this incarnation, we mean that God became flesh. The word incarnation means enfleshment. And so it means that God came and assumed a living bodily form. And so then the next thing we say, well, why did he do that anyway? Well, we're going to look at the first reason today. The reason he had the incarnation, the reason that he came was to reveal the invisible God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 18, we are told this: no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This could be made to read, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, subsisting in the bosom of the Father, he hath told him out. That is, he has given us to know God in the fullness, God as he is. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to reveal to mankind just what God is like. Sometimes we hear people say, well, I wish I could have knew what God is like, and I wish I understood the mind of God better, and I wish I knew what God thinks, and I wish I knew how God viewed certain things in this life. Well, if you want to know God, just get to know Jesus, because Jesus Christ has perfectly manifested God to the world. And if you know Jesus, you will know God, because Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, and he is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is but one God in all the universe. The others are false gods. We have them all over the place, but there's actually only one true God. And that one true God has revealed himself to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why if we want to know the holiness of God, we look at the holiness of Jesus. If you want to know the righteousness of God, we look at the righteousness of Jesus. If you want to see the purity of God, you look at the purity in the life of Jesus. If you want to see the compassion of God and the heart of God, then you just look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll see it. If you want to see the love of God, then see the love of God shed abroad in the life and the walk of Jesus Christ. And listen, wait a minute, I'm not done with my list. If you want to see the hatred of God, we see the hatred Jesus had. When did the Jesus hate you say, I never heard of such a thing? Well, Jesus hates sin for one thing. Jeremiah 44 and verse 4, God cries out, do not this abominable thing that I hate. In their case, it was idolatry. They're worshiping idols. God hates sin. God hates hypocrisy. God hates uncleanness. God hates impurity. God hates every sinful thing. So Jesus Christ has a perfect hatred toward these evils. And today, if you listen to men, you'd think that God loves everything and everybody, no matter what the sin, no matter what anything about sin. He just loves us so much, he would just take us to heaven. He wouldn't have anything happen to us. But when this 20th century preaching has forgotten something, 21st century preaching has forgotten something, they have forgotten the judgment of God Almighty. They have forgotten the hatred of God towards sin. Do you ever think of the anger of God? And they say, oh, God wouldn't be angry with little old me. I just make a few mistakes and they call it bad decisions. Yeah, it is a bad decision, but a sin, plain old sin. And God hates it. And you know what we're told in Psalm chapter 7 and verse 11? Listen, God is angry with the wicked every day. And you say, oh, who are the wicked? They're all the wicked are those who have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are those who still have sin in their lives, and they've never come to Jesus and confessed those sins and had them washed away. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're numbered among the wicked. And God is angry with these people every day. Now, this doesn't mean that God doesn't love the sinner. He does love the sinner, no matter what the sin might be. But his anger against sin doesn't change. You say, well, how can you be angry with somebody and love them? Well, do you have children? Tells you something. But that love will end someday. And although we sin, he still loves us and he wants us to come. He's angry with your sin, but he wants us to come and be cleansed. But if we refuse us, he loves us so much, it doesn't matter what your sin is, he'll take you. But believe, listen to me, friends. Listen, if you don't hear anything else, listen to this. When you die, when I die, when we die, that's all settled. And we're in Christ, we're out of Christ. We're in the hatred and all the judgment of God. We're under the love of God. And that will never change. After death, the judgment. And so this angry, Jesus was angry on an occasion. Listen to this scripture. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so now Paul goes on and he talks about this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about how that though he hates sin, he loves people and he wants you to come to him. And so Paul writes to young Timothy and he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up into the world and up into glory. And then again, in Hebrews 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus here, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and withholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, paid for our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus declared in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Or listen to him in John 14, 9. Have I been lost such a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Friends, we ought to honor the Lord Jesus Christ because he's exactly what God is like, because he is God. And so we ought to honor the Lord Jesus. We ought to exalt him. We ought to revere his name and never take his name in vain. And cursing and swearing, you hear it all the time. Have mercy on their soul, O God. We ought to think about everything we do. We ought to do it to please him and to honor him. We ought to be careful that we don't give Jesus an inferior place in our thinking. And some of you, dear pastors, in our theology, he needs to be first and foremost. He needs to stand above all, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just tremble because people say today that God created us and so are all his children. Everybody's his children. But God tells us, and he tells us in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. We are not the child of God after we reach the age of accountability. We are not the child of God until we personally receive Jesus Christ. Look it up, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become something they weren't. To them gave he power to become the children of God. And you are not the child of God. You're the creation of God, just like the animals in the field. But you're not the child of God until you personally receive Jesus Christ into your life and have him enter your life and cleanse you from your sin. And that's what we all pray, and you could do that right now. You say, I want to receive Jesus, but I don't know how to receive Jesus. I can't see Jesus. And all I do is I just know about him. How can I receive him? I can't even see him. I'll tell you how you receive him. You just do right to everybody like you would your neighbor. Your neighbor knocks on your door. You open the door and you say, come in. So in Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus tells us, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him. I'll wash away your sins. I'll make you my child. You just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. Just use your own words. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll make him the Lord of your life and then thank him for saving your soul and you're born again. It's just that simple. I was 10 years old. And what did I know about theology? Nothing, except my mother read Bible stories. I knew that, but I didn't know a thing. But I knew that I needed to have Jesus. And I prayed that prayer 10 years old out in the country schoolhouse, having evangelistic meetings in a country schoolhouse. You could do it in those days. And I came forward and accepted Jesus. And that's what you have to do. So there can be no question about it. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he's the only one. And so we say, no man hath seen God at any time. And right away somebody will say, well, how about some of these instances in the Old Testament? How about Adam and Eve? They're in the Garden of Eden. They were sinless. They were innocent. They had no sin until they disobeyed God. And the big sin in their life was disobeying God. And so they disobeyed God, and God had to deal with them. And then they see that they when they saw the Lord Jesus, they saw God and they walked with God, but they never saw God in his deity. And this wonderful thing, Abraham was the same thing when he had the visitors at Mamre, and the people came to Mamre, and he talked to them, and then he saw that this was Jesus Christ. He hadn't been born yet, but he was in his pre-incarnate form, and he's there among these people. The three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace, they saw him. And Moses, look at Moses, how he was. Well, this man, he saw God, and God says, you can't see my face and live, but I'll tell you what I'll do, he said. I'll walk by, and you can see my backside. You can see my back, but that's all. Now, what we're saying is this. We never see the deity of God. We see Jesus Christ in the form of God. and we see him among men. And so he comes in different ways. It's called a theophany in theology. And so you see, to Abraham, God came as a man. To Daniel, he came as an angel. To Ezekiel, he came as a marvelous experience. To the three Hebrew children, he was one walking against with them and talking with them. And so, with the mortal eyes, we have never seen the Spirit. God's in the Spirit. But we see him in human form in Jesus Christ and in the theophanies as he came and met with people at different times. So John tells us we haven't seen him at any time. He's in the bosom of the Father. But when Jesus comes, he reveals God, and he reveals lots of things about God, but he never shows the deity of God Almighty, because that great deity is beyond us. We cannot comprehend it. With our mortal eyes, we cannot look upon a spirit, and God is a spirit. And so Jesus is teaching us then that we have never seen deity. We've seen Jesus Christ in the flesh, but we have never seen Jesus, and we've never seen God in his deity as a spirit. We and Jesus has gone back to heaven, and he's still revealing himself to people, and he's revealing just to mankind through his people. And so Jesus tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And what Jesus is saying is simply this, that you walk with me and you live for me and you live in such a way so that I can shine through you and they will see God and what God is like, because they'll see you having Jesus in your life. And that's why it is so we should be so careful how we live. And I want to tell you something else. When we have Jesus, we have all that we need, because we're told in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. And so when we have Jesus, we have everything we need, no more. Somebody has written this poem. We don't know who the artist or the poet was, but they write about this woman, and all she has is Jesus, but that's enough. And they write, in the heart of London City, mid the dwellings of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered, I have Christ, what want I more? Spoken by a lonely woman dying on a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort, I have Christ, what want I more? He who heard him ran to fetch her something from the world's great store. It was needless, died she saying, I have Christ, what want I more? But her words will live forever, I repeat them o'er and o'er. God delights to hear me saying, I have Christ, what more do I want, what want I more? Look away from earth's attractions, friends, these joys will soon be o'er. Rest not till thy heart exclaimeth, I have Christ, what want I more? All we need is Jesus. Do you have Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life? My dear friend, he will never come in until you do. He says, if you open the door, I will come in. He'll never knock the door down. He's not a trespasser. But he's knocking right now. And I know that all over the world, I don't know, you may be in tents, you may be in the jungles, you may be in the cities. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit can see you, the Spirit of God. And he can talk to you, and he can have Jesus knocking at your door. And you have that feeling, yes, I want Jesus. I love Jesus. I need Jesus. I have my sins that bother me all the time. I want to get rid of them. He'll let me turn over a new page. He'll wash them all away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so you just pray and ask Jesus. In your own words, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins, and I ask you to take away my sins, please. Wash them away in the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And you just make that prayer, and then you tell Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll follow you the best I can, and you'll never be perfect. But when you stumble, you ask Jesus to forgive us, and his grace is sufficient. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he'll forgive you every time, if it's 100,000 times. He'll forgive you over and over. How many times have I sinned since I accepted Jesus 86 years ago? But every time I go, 1 John 1:9, he forgives my sins. Now, if you do that, find a church. Try to find a church. Find a Christian friend that you can work with and read the Gospel of John. If you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and here's our address, Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you write to us, we'll send you literature and help you on the way. Or you can get us on the website, christianworshiphour.com. We have sermons there, and we have the way of salvation there. And also, if you want to send a gift, you can send a gift over on christianworshiphour.com. And we have to have your help in this, because we have to make our bills just like anybody else. So we're looking to you, and we're counting on you. So now we're going to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted Christians in Libya. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for Jesus, beautiful Jesus. And we pray that multitudes will make that prayer right now. We pray, Lord, today for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those in the prisons, Lord. We pray for young people and their struggles and the children. And we pray for the persecuted church in Libya. Oh, God, bless them and help them, I pray. And help us all, because of their suffering, to know, help them to know that they're encouragement to us. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So now there's your number, Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We need to have your help, because we're not underwritten by any organization. It's just God's people scattered all over the world helping us. And if you want to know how our bills are checked, we have the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny we take and every penny we spend. And it's all used in the proclamation of the gospel. And if you want the new song, I've got your address there on the screen. You be sure to go write to us. And for those of you on the short wave, you get us down, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. God bless you, and we're going to look for you next week. And in that time, you pray for this ministry, because we need your help. And we'll be praying for you, and tell other people about the Christian Worship Hour. They can tune in, and it's hard maybe for you to witness, but we'll witness for you. Have them tune us in. We'll tell them the way. So God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.